Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
But guys, I want to share, you know, I was thinking about this, that we only have one life. We talked about this in the beginning of the first hour, but we only have one life.
Yeah.
God doesn't give us five or six or seven. You know, we don't come back, you know, into a cow or anything like that. We only have one life on earth, just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what David, King David, wrote in the Psalm 39:4. And you could hear his heart cry in this psalm. He says, Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You made my days a handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is a breath, even those who seem secure. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. I mean, it's sobering to consider one's life. It's a sobering thing,
yeah.
You know, to think and to pause and to think about, okay, my life here. And many, I believe, are living aimlessly. They're tossed, you know, back and forth by every, you know, wind, everything that's going on, without any true sense of purpose or direction. I mean, just look at it. Content to watch reality TV instead of living a true reality, instead of living a life filled with purposeful aim reality.
Right.
And they're just living for the moment. Just living for the moment. Even there's a phrase that's been out here for a little while that people have been saying. It's called YOLO. And it stands for you only live once. YOLO. Meaning do whatever you want to do and give no concern about the consequences. Just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. You only live once. The problem with that is that, yeah, you're right. You only live once, but the consequences of wrong living will affect you for eternity. Yeah, you're right. You only live once. So it's not do anything and throw off any kind of concerns or restraint and just live recklessly because you only live once. But it's just the complete opposite, because you only live once.
That's right.
Because your feet only touch this soil once. What you do with your life will not only have tremendous significance for yourself, for your family, but for all eternity. I'm talking about eternity here. So many times we look back at history and we look at people's lives and you look back and you see someone that's blessed and you look back and then they start talking about, well, you know, my grandfather and my great-grandfather and they did this and you saw that somebody's life counted. They made their life count. How many immigrants have come across to this country with nothing, with zero, nothing? And because they got to work, they believed in the dream, they had a vision, they just worked hard, they started to do something, they started to create something, and now you see businesses in your own community that say 50 years in running, since 1906, since 1855, since whatever, this thing has been going on, and it's because somebody recognized that they only lived once. And we got to recognize it as believers that we're only passing through, that we're not serving just our generation, but we're serving the generation that is to come, right?
That's right.
But a person that truly gets this, they understand this. They really understand, too, that there are eternal consequences to how we live. I mean, our decision, the greatest decisions that we'll ever make concerning our, you know, in our life, our greatest decision is, what are we going to do with this amazing man, Jesus? What are we going to do with him? Is he going to be the Lord of our life? And what we do with that one decision will affect all eternity, and how we live our life will affect all eternity. Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And I just think about this, guys. How many times do people sit back and evaluate what they're doing? They evaluate their life. They evaluate their impact. They evaluate why they're working at their job, why they're living in a certain place. Why do they keep certain friends and acquaintances and run in certain circles? Why? Like Missy Edwards says, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
Why? And it's been my experience. It's been my experience that many people are not in tune with the reality when it comes to life. Just not in tune with it. I mean, most feel that they're going to live a very, very long life.
Yeah.
And are shocked when someone's life is cut short. I mean, just shocked. But where I want to know, I mean, just let me know, is every single person promised a long life? I didn't get that memo. I mean, forward it to me.
Nope.
But think about it. Who's? We don't know. We don't know what life holds. Or they live with the idea that I'm not going to get sick. I don't believe sickness is of God. I don't, claim. I don't want to receive any of them. And I believe in divine health. I believe in divine healing.
Right.
But people in this world do get sick, and they're shocked. And what's more shocking is that they weren't prepared for it. Like now they begin to live. You know what I mean? Like they give no thought of all the things that could happen that could dramatically alter their life. And why does it take having a disease, a life-ending disease? Why does it take a cancer? Why does it take something that's going to shut your life down for someone to grasp and say, oh my goodness, I only have one life. And now I'm going to live it. I'm going to do a bucket list. I'm going to do this. Wait a minute. Why did something tragic have to wake us up? And at that particular point, if it happens later in your life and you've been just cruising through, you realize of all the wasted years, all the wasted time, all the frivolous things that were done with no eternal significant value for Jesus. And God has put us on this earth. If you're a Christian today, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called you to bear fruit, and much fruit that will last. He's going to inspect it. I mean, we got to have fruit for him.
Right.
And the question is, what are we going to have when we see him? We're going to see him face to face. I don't want to come, He's going to reward us. I always say, I want a good crown. I don't want a Burger King crown. I want a real crown.
The real deal.
I want the real deal because I want to lay something at his feet. I don't want the tan, can you imagine some people can get a tan crown, a bronze crown, gold. And I believe this is going to be a Burger King crown for somebody. It's like, and when you get your crown, when you get your reward, you're going to hold it and you're going to... The only thing you can do is just cast it at his feet and say, I'm not even worthy of this. I'm not even worthy of this. And I don't want to pull a Burger King crown off my head and say, here you go, Lord. I want to have something to give him because I believe I'm going to see him face to face. And that's your hope if you know him as your Lord and Savior. But I wanted to challenge us to number our days, to recognize that we have this one life. And what you do with this one life matters. You can make a change today. Don't be sick. Don't wait for something to happen. Don't wait for something to happen. But allow yourself to be awakened even now. Even now.
It's not a coincidence that you're sitting here listening to me. You've got one life to live. You've got one opportunity to let your light shine in darkness. One opportunity to explore what the power of God can do through a yielded vessel. This is it. Something within you can say, God, I want my life to count. God, I do not want to waste my life. People who do not know the Lord ask us, why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries? So they fail to recognize that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble has burst, they'll have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years, the lives that they have wasted. Methodist preacher W. E. Sangster said, how should I feel at the judgment? If multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride. Come on. What stop? Is it fear of man, fear of failure, just a history of spiritual apathy? Is it the inability to get out of a rut? What's stopping you? If your life is right with him, look in the mirror and say, God is with me. God is in me. I want my life to count. You say, what do? Go after him. Seek his face. Cry out. Shut off the TV. Turn off the computer. Put away the unnecessary distractions. Cancel some of the unnecessary appointments. Go after God. Seek his face. Pour through his word. Read things. Listen to things that stimulate you, charge you, and then walk in the light you have.
That was so powerful. That was so powerful. That was Dr. Brown, charging us. And I'm charging you today. I mean, what would happen if you woke up? What would happen if you were really, really awake? What would happen if you gave Jesus your whole life and held nothing back? Think about the possibilities. Think about it. What would happen if you let go of your fears and went after Jesus with everything you had, with every bit of viper? What would happen if you truly sold your life for Jesus and for the gospel? Mm-hmm. I mean, John 12:24 says, "Verily, truly, I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I mean, the sowing of your life can turn an entire people. Don't let nothing get in your way of giving Jesus everything. Refuse to watch others go after God and be used by God. Make your life count. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. Live with eternity stamped on your mind. And I love what Jim Elliot said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Give it all for Jesus, the one life that you have. Because we're talking about one life. Just one life we've been given. And we talked about how life is just a mere vapor. And we're here today, and literally, I mean, we're gone tomorrow. We have often spoken about how life just seems to be just flying by. And how you have to force time to comply with your destiny. But you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up and understand that, you know, we've got to live reality. We can't watch reality. We have to live reality. And that's not even real. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been given a life. And I love what David wrote. I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's just so inspired by God. But he says, "You made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you, and each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." I want to tell you that we can gain all these things, you know, material things on this world, and we can do the things that people are living for and going here and going there. But you got to ask yourself, what of all of this has significant eternal value? What matters in the end? And the question is, you know, is what you're living for worth Jesus Christ dying for?
Right.
What are we living for? What are we living for? And it's nothing. There's nothing more beautiful than to know that you have given your life for the cause of Christ, that you've given your life to leave an impact for someone, that you've touched someone, and that you've touched God. there's a place where you can walk with God. I mean, I think about Enoch and how the Word of God tells us that Enoch walked with God and was no more. Mm. I mean, Enoch did not die. God just took him up. God just took Enoch up. And there's a place, there's a place, and you look throughout the Old Testament, you hear, and he walked with God, and Abraham walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, and Elijah walked with God. You can walk with God today. You can walk with God, and you can allow him to touch you in such a way that he will use you for greater and amazing things. He specializes in taking the nobodies. I mean, just look at us. And he'll touch you so that you can touch others. He'll touch you so that you can touch others for him. And your life right now is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to him. What type of gift will you have for him? Mm. I pray that it's a good one. And so we have one life. Let's give that whole life to him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is religion banned in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The question was, did I send trainees on a training trip for a couple of weeks, and they are typically put together with roommates in hotels. I've had a trainee who, she likes to read her Bible and have quiet meditation time, and she's concerned that having a roommate would interfere with that.
When you have a situation like this, it depends on your policy. If the policy is for economic reasons that you have the employees have roommates, then she should have a roommate also, and she certainly can go to a quiet place in the hotel and study the Bible. You don't want to do anything to interfere with her sincerely held religious beliefs, her Bible study, or times of prayer. You should try to accommodate that, obviously. But I don't think you have to exclude your general policy of having roommates if that's the company's policy. As long as it's equally enforced, there should be no problem.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, but listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less, take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to. Throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God. This is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was just in Philadelphia not long ago, and I actually had a chance to see the house that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Now, you got to see this. You're in downtown Philadelphia, okay?
Get out of Dodge.
There's buildings everywhere. There's people walking all over the place. And right on the corner, you would have passed it up, is this little old house in between a couple of buildings. Actually, one building's on a corner. And there it was. I'm like, look, Elijah, look. This is very important. This is historic. He's like, where, Dad? I'm like, right here.
Right.
The Declaration of Independence was actually written by Thomas Jefferson.
And
pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, we so look at history by our present day. We try to define where we were by where we are. Mm. But the truth is, we can only define where we are by where we've been.
Mm.
You know, you got to find out our history. And so we end up changing our history, trying to adjust it to our present day. And that's what they're trying to do in America, right? Many people are trying to say, that's all outdated. And even though it gave them the right to be able to say it's outdated. You know, that, you know, it needs to be changed, even though it gave them the right to stand in leadership, you know, to say it could be changed. You know, it is, it's the very thing that the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they just said, listen, it's just time. We just believe it's self-evident that all men are created equal.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, King, you know, you're not God. The church shouldn't have been merged together in the first place with the government. You know, it's not about... It's not a separation of church and state so that the church will stay out of the state. It's separation of church and state so the state will stay out of the church. Because this is the problem. Listen to this. This is the problem. The problem is we've got to quit defining the church by what we've created it to be in our own eyes and men, because the church is people.
Mm.
But as long as if you let somebody define you and define the church different than what God said, then all of a sudden now you're like a club, a Rotary Club or something. Nothing is Rotary Clubs, but the fact is that, you know, they see you as an institution. They see you as a building. They see you as a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And they see you in the all together in this organization versus the individual who is a believer. So if we are the church, if believers are the body of Christ, to say a government that's by the people and for the people— to say the separation of the church from the state is to separate the people from the state. Hence, you cannot separate the people from the state if we live by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm. Right.
But you can separate the state from the church, that they cannot make any laws concerning the church. It's the First Amendment rights. You know, when I was Mary and Blake and Amber this on the beach out there this weekend that, you know, we used to say, you know, by the power, you know, we brought in the government. It's like, what are we doing? Right. Oh, my goodness. Right. The truth is, you know, because of God, because of the call of God on my life, because of the church and because what God says about marriage, and because the government recognizes that with the U.S. Constitution by the First Amendment, I hereby have authority under God to marry you. It has nothing to do with the state. The state does not give you authority to marry somebody. If you're at the church, it's you being the church. It's what you do. And you marry and you counsel and you walk with and you disciple and you encourage the church, which are people. You don't encourage a building. What's nice shutters today? I really like your shutters. Did you ever
like
think about
steeple?
That's pretty nice. Nothing against steeple. I got a good friend that's a steeple. I'm not, you think about it. When you talk about the church, so many people identify with buildings that they can get offended by it. And, you know, like Steve Hill said, you know, we talked on Friday, you know, not to be offended. We're for the church wherever it gathers, whatever it is in, whatever it is not in, because the people are the church.
That's right.
You know, the outside does not make the inside. It's what's on the inside of that gathering that actually makes the church. And so you can paint a big building and put people in it that are not the church, and it's not the church. But you can actually put
You can be in an auditorium, for example. That all kinds of things happen in the auditorium. And but when the church comes and gathers together, what's inside of that building, the auditorium, mm-hmm. is the church. The auditorium didn't become the church. What we're talking about when we say the church, we're talking about the people gathered in there. That's why we don't have to worry about where we go as the church, because we're the church wherever we go. Mm-hmm.
How can you go to what you are?
How can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. So, well, you know, we joke around about that, but the thing is that, you know, you're the church. But the thing about that, when you know you're the church, it's like, that means the word of God applies to me. It applies to me. And that is, it drives you to the cross. It literally brings you to the reality of our desperate need for a savior.
Right.
You know, but when it's not you and it's that building, you can say all kinds of things, or you think it's a board of directors, or you think it's somebody's good idea, or you're thinking it's been something that's passed down for generations versus somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, you can be in a three-piece suit and a tower and in New York and be the church, part of the church, or you can be, you know, plowing fields in your little small garden in China with wearing one of your two sets of clothes, and you can be the church. They're equal. As a matter of fact, the one who's plowing the field may be of higher esteem in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. in the eyes of God, right?
Yeah.
And so we can't define ourselves in America. We got to redefine or go back and go for the original intent of who we are as the church. If we hang on to redefining ourselves outside what God says that we are, you know, it's gonna crumble. It's gonna, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, you know, I wasn't gonna share this, you know, till tomorrow, but I think I want to share it now because I remember the movie A Patriot. Do you remember the movie Patriot?
Oh yeah.
Was that with Mel Gibson, Pat?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was with Mel Gibson, and that in that movie, you know, and I always encourage everybody that when you're watching a movie as a believer, you know, you can get something as simple as what's called clear play. Mm-hmm. It's really cool because when you put a DVD into it or whatever they're called, you know, Blu-rays or whatever, it just removes things that you don't want to see or you don't want to hear. So I can't vouch for what's all there in the context of that. But what, you know, in that moment, there's a moment in there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about separation of church and state. In that moment, remember that we signed our Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we did that, we said that this is just not right. Mm-hmm. That you can't, you know, your form of government and mixing the church together and all of that is just not right.
Right.
And because if you leave the church, the Church of England, they considered it treason. It was treason because they merged the two.
Right.
They merged the two. And I got so many things to share with you. You got to stay tuned to VFN Radio. We're going to talk to you about, you know, they're digitizing every member of India right now. 1.2 billion members, wow. population, and everybody, fingerprints, digital print, online prints. So listen, we are getting there right now, and we got to wake up. America, listen, we have a unique thing that God gave us. You know, and this panicking and bringing in things like the Patriot Act and different things that are surrendering all the things to one big, huge database. You know, it's gonna challenge what we're doing. But anyway, so they considered it was treason because the king was over the church.
Right.
So mm-hmm. for you to come to America, you know, and be a part of the colonies and all that was going on, and for you to preach the gospel as it's written in the Word of God, they considered you as part of the problem.
Mm. Wow.
They considered it treason. And in the movie, there's a segment in the movie where they go off to be able to fight for America. And these are our founding fathers, you know. And when they do that, there's a small little town where Mel Gibson's son had found a wife that he was betrothed to, and he was going to come back and marry her, I guess, after mm-hmm. This battle. And so they go away. When they go away, the British, the redcoats, came in, the ones who were loyal to the king, the ones who were loyal to the mindset of church and government go together. Mm-hmm. That was their loyalty. They were not loyal to what we would call the First Amendment day, mm-hmm. separation. And they were so together that they could look at those who were not in the Church of England, even though they had a Bible in their hand, even though they preached the Word of God accurately, and they could call them somebody was in treason.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. So many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word that's coming out that moment in time from the VFN Dream Center. You need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the thing, the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it, spacious skies, purple seas, and purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. And but one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and do be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator, demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. You know, we just don't get, that's the reason why the First Amendment's there. And so they have one of their own that joined the Redcoats, you know, that was there. And it's his own, he's coming into a town on horseback. And they're coming in, they're trying to find, you know, Mel Gibson and all the guys that are fighting for the freedom for America, some of the patriots. And then here he is, he's faced with, because the leader of that army turned to him, one of their own, who was riding with them, so now he's not their own, and he said, I want you to burn it down. He says, burn down their houses? And he's like, no, burn down the church. Burn down everything. And he looks at them like, oh, no. But he had to make a choice. And let me tell you, if you're riding with the Redcoats,
If you're hanging out with those who are not hanging out with God and the U.S. Constitution, it seems okay now, but there's going to be a day they look at you and they're going to demand loyalty from you over what God says. Anyway, so he looks at him and he gives him that look like, this is my family and my friends. These are people that I know. How can I do that? And he decides to do this. He decides to do what they said and burn down his own people. Listen to this. Listen, this is it. It's about 2 minutes.
Ready to fire the town on your order, sir.
The town? Burn the church.
There's no honor in this.
Didn't you say all those who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death? Burn the church, Captain.
Give me the torch.
He's going towards the church right now with a torch in his hand while the members of the church are gathered in a small country church building. He's thinking. He throws the torch. They're slamming the shutters. They're surrounding the church with flames and fire. The building. Smoke's coming under the door. They're screaming for their very lives.
The honor is found in the end, not the means. This will be forgotten.
He looks back at his friends and his family burning in the church building. The flames are pouring out from the walls. They're trying to break out, but they can't. They're screaming. They're turning to each other. They know this is it. It's engulfed in flames. He looks back, the one who truly committed treason, who threw the first torch. And they march away while the church is burned. Not the building, the people who were in the building. And the only thing that's left is rubble, ashes. It's gone. The First Amendment is there because of that very reason. We're so far gone from how it all happened and how it came to pass that we're forgetting that they gave their lives so that we could preach the gospel and the good news, and that when righteous people are when people who love God are thriving and the nation is blessed, but when wicked rulers rule over it, the people groan, is what he says in his word. And that you understand that the church, not the buildings, but the people are an enemy of darkness. Your very existence. You're not liked and you can't negotiate with evil.
That's right.
You know, we're going to lay down our lives and we will turn the other cheek and all those different things. But right now we have the First Amendment to the Constitution. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they didn't know if they would live beyond the night.
Mm.
They didn't know if they would be hung in the gallows that night. But they knew it was right. And we're living today in this nation in the freedom that we have because men knew it was right. They had a conviction of what was right. There is no conviction hardly anywhere. It's just like a jellyfish, you know what I'm saying? You see a jellyfish, and we've seen a lot of those, you know, diving. And it's like they just go wherever the current leads them, you know? And you just don't know where they're going to go. But we're called to stand for truth. You know, for people, for, you know, as Americans, for America, for the Constitution. Listen, as I say often, the president swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from his enemies, foreign and domestic. The Senate and the Congress swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic. The judiciary branch has done the same thing. You know, our governors, our soldiers, citizens are being sworn in, and it's like, but can we stand for what's right? Are we willing to take a stand for the issues and the values what's right. Listen, standing up, think about it. Standing up for what your country is made up of in regards to the Constitution, this is how we operate. How could that be wrong?
Right.
It could only be wrong if you believe it's wrong and it needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be changed. We need to be changed.
Right.
Mm. You know, one of the issues is that, of course, is that the church is trying to do the same thing with the Word of God. I don't believe that if we keep denying the sovereignty of God and keep removing his acknowledgement and his name and his commandments and, you know, all these different areas where we're acknowledging God, if we keep removing him from those areas, we're not going to have a sovereignty of America. It's just not going to be anymore. I mean, why would God continue? Because he's the one that uplifts nations and he's the one that brings them down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that if a nation, you know, and you can hear about this on, I believe, the Elijah storm on VFNTV.com. And there's a whole bunch of things there for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and you can subscribe for free and begin to listen to these prophetic words. But he says if he decides he wants a nation to rise up, which he did for America, it will. But if they do evil and he sends things to us to warn us and to turn and we don't turn, mm-hmm. he removes the nation.
Wow. That's right.
There's no, I mean, look at the progression of history. I mean, nations rise and nations fall. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but God's kingdom's for ever and ever. And so how could it be wrong for you to, first of all, know the Constitution and stand up for it? You know, we're focusing at this moment on, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the, you know, who we are as Americans, and understand as the church, you know, us that are believers, not buildings, organizations, we got to quit letting things divide us and say, you know, we want to unite us. But we can't unite around a doctrine outside of the Word of God. It's got to be a doctrine of the Word of God. Jesus has to be, the Jesus has to be the center of it. The Son of God has to be the center of it.
That's right.
And humility in the context of we can't do this outside of him and what his sacrifice is on the cross. But with him, we can do it as we surrender our lives to him and obey him and follow him in that area. But
you're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things and man and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
because
it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this. Mm-hmm. They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to share with you something so important that, I don't know, you would say, you know, life's timeline. I'm going to talk about life's timeline. Mm. And, you know, there's three things we all have in common. I don't care who you are. You have this in common. We all have this in common. One, we're all born. There was a day we were born. Two, we all will die. And the third thing is, whatever we will accomplish in our lives will happen between these two dates. Mm. I think about that. It's like a definite. So anybody that ever did anything, good, bad, or whatever, they did it between those two dates. And it's like, when you, so often when we, I look back on the years I wasted and I'm thinking, my goodness, what a waste of time. What a waste of energy. What a waste of resources. And it'd be cool. It'd be cool if that you had wisdom when you had energy at the same time. Together, you know, like, why does it come when you know?
Right.
And so the president of the United States, I mean, you think about everybody. And they say that many people think about making something happen. Some people make things happen, but most people just wonder what happened.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. You find out after a while by thinkers, you just kind of like, oh, that's all they're going to do. They're not going to ever do anything. They're just going to think about it. I was talking to a man this week, and a businessman, and he says, you know what? He says, I'm just really tired of those behind the pulpit. They're just talking, but they're not doing. They just say it over, but they're not going to do it. There's nothing, you know, that's how man's going to go like, okay, at some point we're going to have to do what we're talking about, because,
hello.
You know, and he was talking about how, but also at the same time he was talking about Promise Keepers and how that impacted his life, and, you know, and I was talking, you know, the significance of the whole thing, but no matter what, even this man and other people, that you have to be, those three things in common with everybody else. So whatever anybody else does, you can choose, you know, say, hey, I want to be somebody who actually makes something happen. I'm going to do something with my life. What God has given me. You think about this. Life, this is people that wonder what happened. These are the people that just they say it just happens to them. Mm-hmm. Life just happens to them instead of them happening to life. They hope for things to happen, but they never plan on participating in that actually taking place in their life. And, you know, hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're a person who just thinks about making things happen in your life, you'll eventually begin to be downhearted because hope deferred makes a heart sick. And if you're one that life just happens to and you're always saying, how did that happen? you jumped off the building and broke your leg. That's how that happened. because you didn't vote. That's why that happened. because you think about this. You say, you know, what happened? Because you are wondering what happened. You are struggling more than likely with trying to do a scientific study of your past, some sort of psychological review of others. And you're looking for places to play blame. And you're deeply thinking about, you're always in the past. You're thinking about the past. You're talking about you're 70 years old, still talking about high school reunion. It's like, mm-hmm. This school's torn down and they built like a shopping center on it, you know. And they got to look forward, but they're looking back. You know, they're just looking back and they never look ahead. They're not looking and projecting and planning and all those things you do when you're a person that kind of, you know, makes things happen. You're going to participate. Somebody, even Christians are going, I'm just waiting for God to parallel the universe with a shooting star over my head, with provision to show up with a pelican bringing it in his lower bill, limping on one leg to tell me that I'm supposed to do something. You know, I was like, come on. I mean, just do it, dude. Ma'am, just do it. Come on. It's mm-hmm. it's written. The instructions are written in the book. Go. Tell them. Let them know. And even in your business realm. And so when you think about this, but if you're a person who makes things happen, you understand that faith without works is dead. You know that you, if you're a Christian, you know that you're if you are diligent in seeking the Lord's guidance and putting an effort down to put down a plan that you're going to work diligently and hope that God's going to bring to pass, that God is going to work with you and something's going to happen. You're not going to just sit back with things just whatever. You're participating in this thing called life. Listen, we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God, make something happen. Paul said, I'm going to go to the next land and tell them about Jesus. I mean, he's going to move on. He's going to just go and do and be. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would keep him from going, and sometimes the Holy Spirit would compel him to go. And it was just about going and doing and being. And so many believers have been convinced nowadays, and it's really a lie that a lot of people are buying into, that it's an excuse for doing nothing. Is saying, well, I haven't heard from God yet. And it's like, I don't think you've heard from God in a long time. And it has nothing to do with the call. And it's like, we're supposed to be in the Father's business. You're supposed to be fruitful at your business. If you are a underpaid worker, you're supposed to be blessed at the place that you're underpaid so much so they're going to want to promote you and see the blessing on your life like they did for Joseph and see the blessing on his life. Mm-hmm. You see, this timeline in our lives that starts at our birth and ends at our death, everything that we'll do will have to be accomplished during this timeline. You know, so many people are like, you know, they're just dreaming. Oh, I would like, and I would like, but they never put anything down on that line. What I would like to achieve by a certain time. What do I need to do to achieve it? And just begin to actively be involved in doing that. And it's just I think so many people are going to be shocked when they get to the end of their life and think, especially Americans, because we live in such a blessed culture. We're not out plowing fields and growing things and raising cattle. Mm-hmm. Texas, they are. But but we're not mostly doing that. And so it's like, what are we doing with our time? Mm-hmm. What are we doing with it? And so many businesses, like for example, in sales, they realize if I could just get the people that work for me to quit watching television and start getting in the field and telling people about the product, it'll sell.
It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how that works. People weren't even thinking about the product. They didn't know they have a need for the product. But because people went out there in the field and opened their mouths and shared with them, imagine that. They sold it.
That's exactly it. And think about this. I think about Joel Osteen's dad.
John
Osteen. And there was a man that was just really... caught in that dilemma that we're talking about, and he's thinking, he's just caught in a quagmire. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking, like, finally figures, if I could just get to one of the things that John Osteen's doing, and I can probably meet with him, then this thing will work out. So he goes to this whole conference, and he gets back to John's office, and John's a little man, and not John Ramos. I'm talking about Osteen. The
I am too.
Right. And so he gets to his office thinking this is it. And so he says, listen, I knew if I could get to you, you could help me get to know what I need to do, what for God. And so he puts his hands together. He leans back in his chair and he looks at the man and he says, do something, lest you do nothing. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tragedy is going to be if you did nothing. And in a blessed land like America, it is easy to do nothing. There are so many things to make you comfortable in your nothingness. And not to challenge your nothingness. As a matter of fact, you can find friends that are nothingness. And y'all could talk about nothing and eat around nothing. And and it's just amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this going somewhere?
Is this going somewhere? Is there a reason for this conversation? Oh, this is another nothing meeting. And so if you want to go to college, if you want to get married, if you want to minister for Jesus, if you want to plant a church, if you're going to win someone to Jesus, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be the president of the United States, you know, it's all going to happen in your timeline.
That's right.
It's going to happen when you begin to say, this is what I see for my life. This is where the Lord's leading me. And I'm going to begin to figure out what it's going to take to be able to do it. I'm going to pray for God's wisdom, but I'm going to do something. At least I do nothing. Because no matter what, no matter what in your life, it will end up being told by these three things. It will end, your life will end, your whole life story will be told on a gravestone. On a gravestone, they'll have your name, and under your name, they'll have three things. They'll have the date that you were born, they'll have the date that you died, and in the middle, they have a very small dash. And let me tell you something, this life goes by so fast. If you don't wake up, it will end in nothingness for you. It will end with just hopes and dreams that never became realities. When everything inside of you was inside everybody else, but you chose not to take those talents and to invest them and to do something, lest you do nothing. I want to encourage you today to realize you have something in common with everyone. Three things. The date we're born, the date we die, and anything we're going to accomplish has to be done during that time. Make it a moment. Make your life count. As James says, he calls it a vapor. Do something in your vapor. Do something for God. Quit asking for permission to do what God commanded you to do. Just get in relationship and become accountable so that you actually survive in what you're doing. It's time to get active. It's time for the church to wake up, shake itself, bring together what remains, and do what God has called you to do.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in. In Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall, visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I want to talk to you, our VFN radio listener. You've been listening now for a while and your spirit's been stirred. And you're saying, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. Well, guess what? We have a plan and a way for you. I want you to find out more about getting involved in the end time move of God at VFNU.org. That's Vine Fellowship Network University. Well, you're just not going to hear about where the church has been, but you're going to hear about where the church is going. Be a part. Don't sit back. Get in the game. VFNU.org.